Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul and I had a chance to speak with Governor Dayton today. The first question he asked us, by the way, when we got him on the phone, was how are the twins doing?
Yeah.
He was at a funeral today and hadn't gotten a chance to listen, so we updated him on the game. But he had a full plate. We wanted to know about two vetoes, one he's done, one he has planned. We talked a little bit about national politics. He surprised Paul and I.
A number of surprises in this interview, and here is our chat with Governor Dayton. Governor Dayton, thank you for joining Jordana and me and our listeners on CCO.
Very glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So the obvious question, will you veto this tax conformity bill passed by the House, passed by the Senate?
Yes, I will. I'll do a veto tomorrow morning at elementary school to dramatize what I'm pushing for, which is to take some of that money they're giving in tax breaks to multinational corporations and put those on behalf of our school children all over the state and forestall some of the really draconian cuts, layoffs of teachers, cutbacks in curriculum and other services, larger class sizes, all of which are going to come down next fall on the heads of these school children if the legislature doesn't revamp its priorities.
Governor, what are you hearing from your constituents? Obviously, you must be getting deluged with callers, with Minnesotans on both sides of this issue. But are you hearing a consistent theme?
Well, anybody who has children in public schools throughout the state and anybody who's a teacher or an educator and knows what's at stake here, this is very real. And Minneapolis-St. Paul, of course, are facing drastic cuts, which my emergency school aid won't entirely cover, but it'll help. And the other school districts, it'll make up the deficits. So that one third-grade teacher in Winona told me he has a class of 17 this year, and if the cuts go through next fall, his class size will be 29. So this is very real, very drastic for parents and for their children. And for everybody involved in education, and I just, you know, my proposal is $138 million, but there's $200 million that the legislature, their tax bill, gives to multinational corporations to avoid taxes on the repatriated corporate profits. I mean, they don't want to pay taxes on their profits. It's just insane. And meanwhile, they say there's not enough money for the schools. Well, that's just not true.
And we're talking 59 schools here, specifically.
That's the number we've documented have deficits, and there are other schools that are probably in that situation. There are others that are having to cut back to avoid going into deficits. I mean, the schools of, you know, I was four schools last week, elementary schools, of St. Cloud and Marshall, and, you know, the kids are wonderfully diverse. But, you know, half or more are from other countries. English second language is a crying need. Eligibility for reduced price lunches because of poverty is staggeringly high. There are children who don't have homes. So what the schools are dealing with these days and doing their utmost is just really, I guess, beyond the comprehension of a lot of legislators who really just don't understand the nature of this crisis. But it's very real, and the schools need the resources to avoid, at the worst possible time, making these kind of cuts.
Governor, I know you told the Star Tribune that some of these legislators are beholden to special interests and lobbyists. The Senate Taxes Committee Chairman Roger Chamberlain said, no, that's not true, that this bill is actually, it's bipartisan, or it's a compromise between what you want and what they want. Which legislators in particular do you feel are beholden to special interests? Which special interests? And what are we missing here? Is it not a compromise?
Well, there's no compromise when we haven't sat down to negotiate with me. They sat down themselves, the two tax chairs, behind closed doors, not even in a public conference committee, and decided what they were going to do. And you know, they took a couple things that I proposed, but basically it's their bill, their way, and they want me to sign it. Well, even if you had the agreement on the school aid, I still need to have serious negotiations on this bill. It's skewed to the wealthiest taxpayers who get more of the income tax cuts than middle-income families. And then it's skewed, worst of all, the corporations. As I said, $200 million of tax exemption for multinational companies that are repatriating their foreign profits. I mean, who can justify that at the expense of our school kids?
Just getting back to the likely veto on the tax cut, my question is, what comes next? Are you going to propose a special legislative session? How do we move forward after this veto?
Well, I hope we will move forward. I had breakfast with the four caucus leaders on Tuesday morning. I made it very clear, as I've said before, that I won't consider a tax bill. I won't sign it unless or until they add the emergency school aid. There's plenty of money available through the tax bill and through the budget surplus that we've built up to accommodate that. And if they're willing to agree to that, you know, to accept my top priority, I'm willing to sit down with them and talk about the tax bill, which is one of their top priorities. I've always said compromise means you agree two things you don't agree with. And I'm asking them to compromise by not on my behalf, but on behalf of the students of Minnesota to provide better quality education. If that's something they're not can't see fit to do themselves for its own sake, to meet me halfway, and I'll meet them halfway on their tax bill, and we can work it out in the remaining 5 days of the legislative session and have a tax bill done. But if you know they're going to just I've had done this before where I go to say, I'll meet you at the 50-yard line, and I'm standing there, and they're still locked in the end zone and willing to budge. So, you know, it really is up to them to decide whether we get a tax bill and get a constructive end to this session.
5 days, that'd be pretty speedy. That'd be impressive if you got it done.
Well, I've seen them move faster.
Talk to us about this other legislative bill that you vetoed today. This bill would have made a requirement for doctors to ask any abortion-seeking patient whether or not they want to see an ultrasound of the fetus. Why the veto?
Well, if you look at the state statute dealing with terminating pregnancies, there's just a whole roster of prescriptions that what doctors must do, cannot do, et cetera. And this would just be one more add-on, which both the Minnesota Medical Association and the Minnesota Division of the National Obstetrics Physicians oppose because it interferes with the doctor-patient relationship. You know, the doctors have their patients' best interests first and foremost, and I think we could I'd rather rely on the medical ethics than Minnesota legislature's idea of what should happen in a doctor's office.
Governor, we don't often get to ask you about national or international politics. A lot happened this week with the embassy moving to Jerusalem, as well as a possible breakdown of talks between the U.S. and North Korea. We'd like to hear your thoughts. The governor gives his thoughts and gives some surprising praise.
Yep, absolutely.
When we get back from the break here on CCO.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Jordana and Paul back with you on CCO. We just got off an interview with Governor Dayton. We talked about the United States moving its embassy to Jerusalem. We also talked about some of the amazing events taking place on the Korean Peninsula.
Well, I thought it was really an amazing breakthrough. I give credit to President Trump for North Korea to get them to come to a negotiating table, and I was distraught to see them say that they might cancel that if certain conditions aren't met. I think they need to sit down, and they obviously both have terms they're going to want to advise, but you know, as Winston Churchill said, you're better to jaw than to war. And, you know, that I've been up in the demilitarized zone. I've seen how close it is to Republic of Korea, Seoul, and their populations. And, you know, nobody wants to play around with that kind of hair trigger, which would precipitate a much broader nuclear war worldwide. In terms of the Middle East, Israel, I think that it would have been more prudent to leave the embassy in Tel Aviv. I mean, look at the carnage that resulted with the protests. You know, that's just driving people farther apart. So I would not have supported that. But, you know, we need peace on the planet, and we need to recognize just how precarious our situation is with more and more countries having nuclear capabilities and more and more terrorists with access to being able to build them. And we just we need to remember, as I remember back from the Cuban Missile Crisis, back when I was in fifth grade, whatever, and they told us to hide under our desks and put our hands over our head in case of a nuclear attack. It was not very reassuring. And we've forgotten, I think, as a society, how perilously close we were to a nuclear holocaust, and how we just need to take every step at the international level with that first and foremost in mind.
Governor Dayton, thank you for joining Jordana and me and all our listeners on CCO today. We certainly wish you the best, sir.
Thank you both.
It was good to talk to him. We hope to have him on a lot more.
Yeah, he's busy. I think I'm busy, but then again, I can't comprehend what politicians on both sides of the aisle, what their days must be like.
You know,
juggling constituents and bills.
The media.
The media.
I didn't ask him what he heard about this.
Laurel.
Well, that's Laurel. Yes.
Laurel.
I didn't ask his thoughts. Next time we have the governor on, we'll ask. It is also 527. Jordana and Paul here. Up next, we're not going to play the weird news just because real life news has gotten so weird. There were so many stories we wanted to bring you. So stay tuned for the rest of the day's news, and we'll get your thoughts on it here on CCO.
86 degrees.
Wow, that's a headline.
And just think, a month ago? No, I don't want to think.
Don't.
I don't want to think back.
Don't. Jordana and Paul here, thank you for spending this post-Twins game time with us. The news is up next, but we had so much to pack into 1 hour. It was hard to get it all in.
It was. Here are a couple of the stories that caught our eye. Did you hear that Michigan State is going to be coughing up $500 million for Larry Nassar's victims?
Do they have $500 million?
Well, that was my first question. That seems like a lot of money. It is a lot of money. Apparently, there was an agreement reached with lawyers representing all 332 of Dr. Nassar's victims, and it was approved yesterday by the university trustees. The settlement must be finalized. This historic settlement came about through the bravery of more than 300 women and girls who had the courage to stand up and refuse to be silenced, one of the lawyers for the victims remarked. So Nassar is in federal prison. And he will be there for a long, long time.
And by the way, those victims, those girls who were just tortured by him, deserve way more. I hope they get at least the $500 million if the university has that or they go find it somewhere. They deserve much, much more because he's a monster.
No doubt.
Just a monster. North Korea has broadened its threat to cancel President Trump's upcoming nuclear summit. And we were talking a little bit about this yesterday, saying it might not happen. The U.S. or the White House came back and said, we haven't heard anything that it might not happen. Well, at first, North Korea cited the military exercises that were joint between the South Korean military and the U.S. as sort of a sore spot. They said, no, that's a threat. But later, the country's first vice foreign minister said that his government has no interest in a summit with the United States if it's going to be one-sided. And what he means is if the president is only going to urge Kim to give up his nukes. They said, we are not interested in talking about that. So far, the White House hasn't responded to this most recent development.
Very interesting. We talked about net neutrality here on CCO this week. Senate Democrats won a significant victory, Jor, in preserving net neutrality rules. Now, it's not a done deal yet. It's just the Senate. But Democrats in the U.S. Senate squeaked out a major victory in their effort to save Obama-era net neutrality protections.
Because it was June 11th, right? That's the date
June
where
11th.
They're set to be rolled back.
Exactly. Again, this passed 52 in favor, 47 against on this resolution to turn back the FCC's repeal of net neutrality. Democrats using the Congressional Review Act to try to halt the FCC's December repeal of net neutrality. So we'll see where that goes, but that's another big story.
Positive step.
We're tracking.
Yeah. Do you vape?
I do not vape. No, thank you.
Have you tried?
No.
I don't vape either, and I haven't tried.
No.
But here's a very good reason not to. A former CNBC producer died this month after his vape pen exploded.
Oh.
His body was found heavily burned in Florida when firefighters entered the upstairs bedroom where he died. It was later determined the exploding e-cigarette started the blaze. Okay, what happened was he was using it, and the item itself burst into flame and then created a projectile wound in his skull.
Ugh.
Experts say that basically what you're doing when you hold a vape pen is you're holding like a firecracker in your hands, and it could explode at any point and project either the pieces of the lighter itself or the vape pen, and then the pieces become flying shrapnel. Well, they say vape pen explosions are uncommon, but they do occur, and when that happens, the items behave like flaming rockets. Now, this is the first known death in the United States caused by an e-cigarette. I had no idea, because, you know, the vape pens are popular with the kids these days.
And this is why airlines have banned them from carry-on, right? I mean,
that's
if one
point.
Of these things explodes,
it's pretty dangerous.
In a cabin, that's not good. This caught my eye. Children caught crossing the U.S. border illegally may be held on military bases away from their families. The Trump administration is looking at 3 sites in Texas and 1 in Arkansas to hold minors. This is according to a Defense Department official. It's the clearest sign yet the administration aims to move forward with a plan to split up families who cross the border illegally. Critics denounce the plan as heartless, but Homeland Security Secretary Nielsen defended it, saying similar separations happen in the U.S. every day. So,
really? And then kids get sent to military bases?
And we should point out the Obama administration also used military bases to hold immigrant children.
So okay, I guess I'm wrong. They did.
There is a precedent.
It's a thing.
For this. You may not like it, but there's a precedent.
Have you heard about the Anne Frank diary?
Happy to hear she's just like every other kid, yes.
Researchers have used digital technology to unmask some pretty racy passages in Anne Frank's diary. It was hidden under brown masking paper. Isn't this amazing that she was 13 when she authored this, and it was in 1942 when she was hiding from the Nazis during World War II? Obviously, the diary's been recovered, and she's made famous because of it. But she was just a real average 13-year-old. I mean, this diary must have been looked at by historians since 1942 with a fine-tooth comb. Yet right now, they're finding dirty jokes about sex and contraception and prostitutes. The director of the Netherlands Institute for War on Holocaust and Genocide Studies said, you know what? You have to smile a little bit when you read these passages. These dirty jokes are classics among growing children, and they make it clear that Anne, with all her gifts, was also an ordinary girl, clearly caught up in some extraordinary circumstances as she was hiding from Nazis. But there are 2 pages of the journal that offer insights into sex and lewd jokes. She addresses the entries on sex to a fictional friend to make it a little less sensitive. She doesn't obviously want to say she's writing about it, thinking about it herself. But they found it by backlighting pages of the diary and interpreting the words using image processing software. Isn't
really?
That amazing?
Like CSI.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Good for her, though, for, you know, hiding that, being, I guess, grown up enough to know she needed to kind of hide it, but still putting it in the diary.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, sweet.
I wonder if and when Minnesota teachers will go on strike. North Carolina teachers are on strike. That's the latest state to be swept up in the wave. A revolt against low pay and deficient education funding. Hundreds of schools across the state were closed today. Teachers plan to march and rally at the state capitol in Raleigh. North Carolina lawmakers say they are committed to a 6.2% pay hike for the next fiscal year. These protests in North Carolina, Joe, follow similar actions in West Virginia, Oklahoma, Arizona, and Colorado.
Willie or won't he? Willie or won't he? Thomas Markle, that's right, Megan's dad, say that he has changed his mind after speaking with his daughter. Now, this was Tuesday that he changed his mind, and he's decided to travel to Windsor to attend the wedding of Meghan and Prince Harry. I'm kind of getting wedding fever now. I'm not a huge Anglophile. I'm not a follower of the royals. But it's exciting, and it's a huge deal. And I think maybe tomorrow we'll talk to somebody about it on the air. But I'm not getting up early to watch it. But I do want to see the fashion. I want to see all the hats that everybody's wearing. But Meghan's dad had some heart problems. And he had suffered a heart attack last week. And he was back in the hospital. And his doctor says if he's okay, he will have the freedom to go. And Thomas Markle, who was, you know, under a lot of pressure, he's not a royal, thinks maybe now he'll go.
On behalf of many listeners, I'd like to play this.
Oh, let's get the sound up.
Try it again. One more time. Take two.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
We got it. There you go.
I had to work for that one.
Exercising when sound effects
go wrong.
I read
that 2/3 of Brits don't care.
Really?
2/3. 2 out of 3.
They don't care? So they should care.
I really don't care. Oh. I mean, I wish them well. I hope they can have a semi-normal life. I doubt it, but talk about being under the microscope.
Oh, I know. Poor things.
It isn't often we get to spend the better part of a day talking about the weather. And no, we're not moving to an all-weather format.
Oh, we're not? You've been lobbying
for that since you got here. No, that's too much weather for me.
You're pretty excited about tomorrow, aren't
you? But to be able to dive into the weeds, talk to experts, John Hines just mentioned this. And this is tomorrow, live from the Minnesota History Center. You can show up in person, be part of the audience, or you can listen. You can listen on radio.com.
Terrific venue, by the way. There's parking there. Great venue.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a great spot. And again, from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., we dive into the weeds. Everything weather. Dan Luna, the head of the National Weather Service, will be there to talk about technology, tornado amnesia, what keeps him up at night. Also, Mark Seely, who was state climatologist for a long time, talking about the trends and how the weather has evolved here and some of the things that stand out in his mind, some of the big storms. What do you remember when you think Minnesota weather? There's so much to choose from. We talk technology. We also talk climate. We have John Abraham. He is a climate scientist from St. Thomas. And we also, Pat Michaels is flying in from Washington, D.C. He acknowledges that the climate is changing. He thinks that the climate models, though, are overestimating the amount of warming. So interested in getting his perspective. Again, it's good to be skeptical about everything. But the whole idea is we put the stuff out there. Listeners can gauge for themselves, reach their own conclusions. And we hope people will tune in.
And this is also something that's open to the public. You can come to the History Center and see us and come and engage with us. I'll grab the mic. We'll get some questions in because we're going to go, you know, delve deep into this. If you're just a weather geek like Paul and me,
well, come and join us. If you live here, odds are you are an armchair meteorologist, right?
You have to be
to survive in this state. But we're going to be doing the things you can't do on an app. Perspective. Context, analysis, interviews with interesting people. We'll catch you tomorrow live from the Minnesota History Center.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.